Blog Talk Radio.
And everything is such a mess, but gotta remember that I am blessed when everything seems to be wrong. I gotta resume to stay strong. And everything is such a mess, but I gotta remember God's got the rest. And everything, after all, is edging me to stand tall. And after all I've been through, and after all, I gotta trust you. This is my life, this is my call, and you'll catch me when I fall. Everything is such a mess, but gotta remember that I am blessed. I feel like crumbling, try not to fall and just crawl. When everything is such a mess, life's put me to the test. And after all it is done, I can say I have won. After all I've been through, and after all, I gotta trust you. This is my life, this is my call, and you'll catch me when I fall. Everything is such a mess, but gotta remember that I am blessed. When everything seems to be wrong, I gotta resume to stay strong. And everything is such a mess, but I gotta remember God's got the rest. And everything is such a mess, but I gotta remember I am blessed.
Okay, is this thing on now? Okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Attuned Voices. I'm your host, Crystal Hope. And tonight, I'm late, but oh well. I was supposed to start an hour ago, and time slid by, and then I couldn't get into the studio. It's a bunch of mess, but we're here now. But yeah, tonight, the show is going to be, I picked a whole bunch of random verbs, nouns, adjectives, adverbs, conjunctions, and see what all of my poet friends could come up with. And when I mean they're a bunch of random words, they are. It's a bit of a word bank, I guess I would say, but I want to see what they would pick and what they would create. So kind of it's just an improv kind of show, I guess you would call it. So, yeah. Also, the song that I just did is mine. That song's called Blessed. I wrote it about a month ago, but it's just about in trying times when you're just stressed out all the time, but you got to remember that you're blessed to have the things that you got. So I want to make sure I messed it up too. Yeah. So let me check the studio. I believe I have Frank with me.
Hello there.
Frank's probably wondering what happened.
Did I hear you right? Did you say that song was your song? You sung that song?
Yeah, that's mine.
Oh, you actually sung that. I heard only half of it. Do send me the link afterwards to hear some of your music. I mean, I've not heard of your music. Not that I can recall.
Yeah, I do write music. I've been doing it for years, but I stopped, and then I did a little bit last year. And I shared a little bit with the Team of Voices and stuff in the different podcasts, but I do share it a little bit, but I've never actually used my music for the audio. And I was thinking, I was like, I just wrote this song. I was like, I should use it for my audio for my podcast and stuff. But I wrote that one. But
well, I mean, I was only able to hear half of it. I didn't hear the whole song, mm-hmm. but definitely interested in listening more to your music. Afterwards, if you can just send me some of the link there and I'll listen to some of it.
Yeah, I have a list or something of that of my songs, so I can send that to you too, because I do usually put them in a different album from my poetry, so I definitely will send you it.
All right. That's great. Great song. Great song. And you got a great
Thank
voice
you.
There from what I could hear, only, of course.
Well, it looks like people are piling up into the studio now. It's going to be a party in here.
Right.
Say hi to AP.
Yeah, because I've got to be going afterwards in a bit.
Hi, Crystal. How are you?
I'm good. I'm all over the place, but I'm good. I completely
That's okay.
just completely
Cloud.
Like escaped my mind that I have a show tonight. I was just minding my own business and everything. I look at the time and I'm like, oh shoot. And I ran to my computer. And then I was like, oh, wait. And then I was like, and then I tried to go into the studio. And then all I did was play my song. And then after that, I was trying.
Yep.
It would not let me hit anything. It wouldn't let me do nothing. So I was like, well,
yep.
I just got to let Jeff know and reschedule a show. Because I was like, it's not working. I don't know. But I'm glad you're here, Frank, and AP.
No.
Let me let the Queen of Canada in, because if I don't, it's a crime. And I want to visit her country, and I want her to let me in. So I think I'll let her into the studio.
Hi, Crystal. How are you?
I'm doing good. Like I was just telling AP, apparently I'm all over the place, forgetting I have a show and everything. But I've also had some crazy things happen to me this week, so I think my mind's just frazzled on that. So.
Everything is all right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it actually is, because you guys are going to be hearing from me a lot more. You know how I never call them podcasts anymore because of my job. I got a new job, and I'm going to be working days instead of nights. So I'm going to be calling them podcasts a lot more. So
excellent.
That's good.
It's an upgrade, too, because it's something I actually want to be doing with my time instead of what I am
Excellent.
Doing. Not. So, yeah, I'm excited. It happened to me on Tuesday, and then I had to let my boss know yesterday, and then, like, everything has just been a mess. But it's getting all situated, and I think my brain's just all... I got anybody
That'd be a big relief for you. I'm glad for you.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. Okay, that's what I thought I saw called a second ago was Hatter. I'm going to let Hatter in.
Hey. Hey, hey. Can you hear me?
Hello, Hatman.
Cool.
I hear you, kind of.
Okay.
Oh, wait. I don't got quick. Hatter. I got Rack, don't I? Wait. Computer froze for a second. Okay, I got it. Man, I'm just having problems tonight, aren't I? All right, well, I'll just go ahead and start on the poetry. And I'm in the wrong thing. Okay. Frank, did you say that you had to go in a few minutes?
Yeah, I'm going to be on for a bit. I was going to be over there at Stevens for a bit afterwards. After I had to do something for that, then I was going to run over there.
Okay. Well, I think I can go ahead and... Normally, I let, like, Stephen or Kay be first or, like, do one of my SoundClouds or something, which I am going to play your SoundCloud, but I think I'll go ahead and I'll post yours.
Oh, I appreciate
and play
that.
Your SoundCloud. Okay. Let me... Find the SoundCloud. Here we go, I got it.
mi amor. Within the sweet sound of the violin, I am thus elevated in the golden divinity of soothing strings of the gentle tones playing the vibrations of the rippling waves. I am enchanted by the luster of precious pearls, nigh the radiant glow of the clear midday sun, as the breeze brushes the texture of my hair, for I am enveloped by the colorful imagery. I smell the light musk at the base of the fragrances, from the fresh jasmines, citruses in the muggets, drifting into the lavender water, tracing the contours of your exquisite beauty that my eyes treasured. I lose myself in the echoes of acoustic tides billowing, and I remember the time that had betided erewhile, the bitter moments of our sadness and uncertainty, when our love was the one thing that had sheltered us. My words are found in a bottle, floating with messages of love, a token of the yearning lover, dreaming of the days of yore, but knowing that those days appear to have just vanished. Into the memories I try to release from the recesses of my heart, I sprinkle the bits of cinnamon in the less salty depths of the sea, hoping it reaches your taste buds. As I wait in the hollow shallows for the romantic moonlight to return again, I beseech a special place whence we had wandered the night. Whither I wind with thee, oh, whither I wind with thee, mi amor, oh, mi amor. In the boom.
Wow. I'm speechless with this right now. When it did end, I was expecting more and more and more. So I guess I'm expecting more from you, Frank. I was reading along with it, but then I was just so much into the sound cloud, the music, your voice, the essence behind it. And I don't know what it was. It had like this soothing tone to it, or just like you could just keep listening and listening and listening. But you always do a really great job with your sound cloud too. Because I always love the background music you'll have, and the way that you'll do your voice and things like that. But this is really, really beautiful. And it seemed like you used a lot of the words, which I was okay with.
Yeah, when you gave me the words there, I was trying to figure out, with the words you gave me, I was thinking of, do I do brevity? And I said to myself, well, I'm not used to doing brevity as far as, for the words that were chosen for the prompt. So I said to myself, well, why not just be more creative? And I know that some of the other poems as well, a few of them went that route as well. And I said to myself, I'll just make it more of a poem there, because I wanted to have something of a substance to it too. So that's why I incorporated some of the words as well. I used more than what you had asked there.
Well, I really like
it. I did use the words that you gave, that you put up there. I just sprinkled about in the poem. I would say every one of those.
Yeah, like I said, I could see the little bits here and there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, though, it does work perfectly. It's like I'll notice the word, but at the same time, I will say that it does work out perfectly. But yeah, this is just beautiful, Frank. And like I said, I love the violin music in the back too. Like you nailed that.
Thank you very much.
This is
appreciate
just
that.
Beautiful. And let me get you some comments. I'll start with AP.
Yeah, it's something wistful about a violin, isn't there? Really, and it was sort of the violin in the background gave it that sense of memory and longing and sort of wistfulness to the words as you went down the page, and you certainly did use a lot of the words that were there. So I enjoyed it, Frank. I thought it was quite beautifully done.
Well, I appreciate that, and I have to say, I have to admit, the violin is one of my favorite instrument to hear.
Yeah, it has a tone. Mm-hmm.
I will agree with you on that. I do love the sound of the violin. I do think I like a few more instruments besides the violin, but I will say that the violin is one that I do like, because normally it's an instrument you don't always hear in music. Either maybe something more classical you might hear a violin, but when you hear a violin, it's like it's kind of out of nowhere.
You mean the fiddle? The fiddle.
Yeah, fiddle as well.
Fiddle too. Lady A, you want to comment?
I thought it was beautiful. That was very haunting. Your voice, your tone, the enunciation of the words. I thought it was rather haunting, and I thought it was beautifully done. I also thought I didn't look to see, but I also thought that what is being said now that as a violin, I thought I heard a sitar type of sound in the music, and I don't know why it sounded that way to me, but it did. It just sounded a bit Eastern, which was quite interesting, I thought. But now I know it was a violin. And even when you said a violin, I said no, that was a sitar, but it was a violin. So that was a surprise. But it was a beautiful piece, for sure. You always do well anyways with your writing. You're an excellent poet, so it's to be expected from you, I guess.
No, oh, I appreciate that, my dear. Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment, Lady A. And Hatter, you can make a comment if you'd like to.
Yeah, I think... any time you can fit in the hint of message in a bottle, it strengthens the poem. I think it just works that way. Where's the other? There it is. The sprinkle of cinnamon, was there a more of a meaning, or was that just one of the words, the cinnamon?
Well, yeah, it's one of the words, but... I don't know, with me, saffron is the other thing with me. It's a Mediterranean thing. And I just wanted to go with something that was, you know, because, you know, we know that what's in the brine is in the sea. We know it's salty and that. But I wanted to throw something in there that was a little bit different there. And yes, I used the word, but I wanted to use it in the context of a remembrance of a lover, you know. Throwing sprinkles a bit of cinnamon there. That's just basically a reference there. It's more of a romantic thing.
Ah, okay. Yeah, because you light a pile of cinnamon, it will burn. You light one, it's to release spirits. If your house is haunted, you want to release them. That's one thing you would do, or you'd be told to do. I had the privilege to, when I met Claire, we had been friends for 13 years on the internet, and we met back in New York. She came from London, and I came from California, and we met in New York. We were able to stay at a musician's house. Mark was one of the best violin teachers, but he can play a mean fiddle too. If you know the difference between a classical violin piece and Chicken in the Straw. Claire was a concert violinist. She can play five instruments, but she specializes in the violin. So I got to see Claire learn how to play the fiddle when we were there. She brought her violin, but she knew nothing of the country, Charlie Daniels type music or any of the country with the Chicken in the Straw, that kind of stuff. It was very interesting to watch.
I bet.
So I sat back and watched. Yeah. They knew each other. Knew each other on the internet. Claire had taken classes from Mark over the internet for years, but they had never, she was writing a 100-page aria while she was on vacation. All the music, the symphony, the orchestra, and she was writing all the music. It just blew me away. These guys were great musicians. So I had to share that anyway about the fiddle.
No, that's a great experience. You're privileged there. I mean, nowadays it's hard to get about and find actually musical performance of that, that regard there. It's somewhat envious there, I have to say. You were able to experience that. Not everyone can say the experience to that degree of nowadays, get out and about, to speak about, time availability that we have, and you were able to share that experience and share those musical instruments, hearing them. It must have been a wonderful, entertaining time.
Yeah, it was. It was definitely a clash of styles and what the instrument can do, but it was very interesting because they both had great respect for each other, and just watching it was quite a thing. So.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you very much for the comments and telling me as well. Experience.
Great comment, Hatter, and story and everything. Frank, I don't know how much longer you're going to stay on here. But
yeah, I have to. I've got to run. I've got to run already. I know that there was the change there. I would have stayed on an hour if it was at 8, my time, of course. But unfortunately, I've got to do a couple of things before I run over there with Stephen for a bit, and then call it a night afterwards. Well, on the air, of course. I want to say thank you for putting the poem and for the SoundCloud as well. And I was able to do the SoundCloud just in two or three takes, and I really fine, And I was fortunate enough to be able to do it and do the poem. I rushed it as well. But thank you for having me on and for doing the poem. And it's always a pleasure to be on your program, or actually on your show, and with the rest of you as well. Take care, my friends. Buenas noches.
Yeah. All right, Frank.
Night, Frank.
Bye, Frank.
Night. All right, well, since Frank is leaving, I guess we won't have a room too empty, I guess, because Deb walked in. So, hi, Deb.
Hi, Deb.
Hey, little sis.
Hey, Deb.
Hi, Deb.
Hey, can I ask a question?
Hello, everyone.
I told Deb earlier, I said that she can beat me up for being late.
Nah.
All right. Well, we just did, and I was probably going to do AP next if you wanted to read, but I don't have your link, AP, if you would post on the board.
Oh, okay. I'll put it up for you, Crystal. I only did it this morning, and I was sort of in a quirky, let's do a quatern type mood, except when I tried to put all of your sort of words together into one line, I came up with 10 syllables, not 8. So this is a quatern, but it's a quatern with 10 syllables. Does that make sense? So that it fits in your four words that I needed to fit in, which was four, lavish, moose, and cinnamon. So if you're ready for me to read, I will read away.
All right, go ahead.
This is a lavish moose. It goes a bit like this. For a lavish moose drank cinnamon tea and wandered deep woods alone to see. He bypassed here curling a round of bark. On leaves did transcend as sipped in dark. It was a small white patch kept on his knee, for a lavish moose drank cinnamon tea. A rounded plate so the teacup did place. Here parts too thick for any heat to trace. He shared his break with the squirrels too, who ate nuts from a winter store review. For a lavish moose drank cinnamon tea. Sense of food warmed, all friends agree. Played kick the tin with all the nuts raw. The winner kept his prize, so could gnaw. Soon time set to rest and break the three. For a lavish moose drank cinnamon tea. End poem.
I swear, that would be a sight to see. I'm like just listening, and just the entire time I'm listening, I'm just thinking, I was like, a moose drinking cinnamon tea. Like, I'm trying to imagine that. Like, I was trying to imagine a moose trying to use its hooves to, like, grab the tea. I don't know. Like, I had, like, all these things in my head. I don't know. I do love it, though, seeing a very quirky kind of break. Because like I said, when I did this, like, little bits of word banks, and when I was doing the nouns, I was thinking person, place, and thing. Then I was like, okay, I'm going to put some very random ones in there, and then some ones like you would normally see probably in a word bank.
Mm.
And I thought of like moose or donkey or something like that, and I was just saying, I'm going to put some random ones in there, and like, I didn't know if y'all would take it or not or what y'all would do with a moose, but it's like the moose drinking cinnamon tea. Like, but it is very, I know what you mean by that quirkiness, because I've had it a few times myself. And if you go back, I think it was in 2019 when I wrote my most poems, and I'd say there was like a month where I just was writing the weirdest thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
I was just in a quirky mood.
Yep.
Like, I just
yep.
What I wanted to do was write that cut. So that's the way that you get. But I do really like this. Like I said, I'm still trying to comprehend a lavish moose drinking cinnamon tea. I don't know. But it's a great poem, and I really enjoyed it. Let me get a comment from Lady A on this.
Well, I thought it was very whimsical and creative, for sure, and I totally enjoyed it as well. I like your rhyme scheme. I thought that was excellent, actually, and the way you pulled it all together. It was just really a fun piece of literature, and it made me smile. It was lovely.
Thanks, Lydia.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment, Lydia. And Hatter, how about you?
Yeah, very, very quirky, to say the least. And, you know, what else would a lavish moose drink but cinnamon tea?
Yeah.
Oh.
Thank you, Hatter. Of course.
Great comment, Hatter. It also kind of makes me think of, like, a different version. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of the song of "What Does the Fox Say?" Like, you don't ever hear what the fox says. Well, then making you wonder, like, what does the moose drink? It drinks cinnamon tea, apparently. I don't know why that came to my head. Yeah,
I don't know what my
great comment, Hatter.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Did you say Hatter?
No, I was just saying great comment, Hatter.
Oh. Okay. Thank you.
I'll get a comment from Deb now, though.
Well, for one thing, in describing his write as quirky was perfect. The adjective definitely fits. I found myself first wondering if Hatter had spiked that tea, that cinnamon tea. I think that you obviously woke up in a really good mood today to write something so silly and do it so well. But it also, I went looking for something for mine, and I saw a picture and clicked on it because I was like, what the heck? And here there was a moose that had eaten some rotting apples and got a buzz. And in her drunken state, she went to dart and she hit the tree, and it's on the chat wall. She's fine. But they had to come and rescue her from the tree. So hopefully when your moose was drinking this cinnamon tea, there were nobody scaring it into that kind of a predicament. But I thought that this was silly fun. Great share.
Thank you. Thanks, Dick.
Hey, that's a thing out here in the West is...
wherever there's orchards, the
apples fall.
Fruit that falls, and especially in the end of the season when you have a frost here or there, something happens to it when it gets cold and then thaws out and makes it happen even quicker. And then we have birds flying into trees, and I mean, so yeah, it's a habitual habit, or it's a habitual circumstance, apparently.
I've never heard of that before. That's amazing.
I haven't either.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she's just like, oh, man, I can't believe I drank, well, ate that. But look at the poor thing hanging in the tree on the chat wall. I mean, she's probably so embarrassed.
Oh, hilarious.
It almost looks like she's trying to be a part of the tree, too. Like, look at me, I'm a branch. It doesn't look nice. That's great. And,
for all I know, this moose was into APT. Just saying.
Who knows? Eating rotting apples and cinnamon tea. Well, that was a great poem, AP, and I really enjoyed it. I'm glad that it inspired some kind of quirkiness in you or so.
No, I think I've been doing a lot of serious poems lately, Crystal, and I just thought, you know, I just, as I said, woke up in a sort of quirky, sort of May sort of cinnamon tea mood, and away I went. So, it's good fun. So, thank you.
I know what you mean. I kind of been in more of a serious mood myself, but and I've been writing like a lot more serious poems. But it's good to get out and. I don't know, be silly. I know some people in all poetry, they write a lot of humor, and then there's some people that don't write any at all, so. But I think it's good to have a
I write occasionally. I get quite excited when I write something vaguely humorous, because it doesn't happen that often, but no, it was good fun, and the words took me there. So... thank you, Crystal. I'm going to depart stage left and get back to work, so thank you.
Good to hear you, AP.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot,
guys. Thanks, Crystal.
Calling.
Thanks for the words. Okay, no problem. No problem. Talk soon. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Deb, I just got your message, so yeah, I'm going to go ahead and post your link on here.
Yeah, it wasn't supposed to hit here until morning, but it's already starting to kick in, and the rain is pounding on the window.
Wayne. He's bothering us. Okay. All right, go ahead, Wayne.
I must admit that just seeing the word moose reminded me of a story that Lady A shared with us, I think it was last year. And that's what I went looking for information on to do my poem when I stumbled across that poor drunk moose up in the tree. However, I used this occasion and your words as an opportunity to write another soapbox poem. And this is called The Murder of a Spirit Animal Guide.
Oh.
Beams of light elevate the landscape colors, striping yellow over the periwinkle blue view, with pearl clouds shape-shifting and rotating over leaves dotted in drops of morning dew. Neon orange rays from the sunlight to the sky, warming the air as the heated breezes blow. All the wildlife creatures forage for breakfast in green vegetation dotting a clover meadow. Laughing hunters drag cinnamon-tinted pelts, trampling mangrove saplings by the swamp. Then, crushing the fern leaf scorpion flowers under their boot treads as footsteps stomp. Two men with shirts splattered in red blood talk of trophies on the path as they walk by. But teardrops roll down, wetting my cheeks for the white moose antlers that I spy. That sight leaves me weeping in the silence, crouched down by the briar patch as I hide, shaking from the rage building inside of me, targeted at slaughterers of this spirit guide. Tonight, all the people from the village sob, and the wooded lot is filled with moist haze as the ghost moose walks in the forest mist. Poachers slink through the tree trunk maze. End poem.
Oh.
No, I was just reading in your author's notes and stuff a little about all this, and I know that you and Hatter, and I've seen a few other people and stuff, they've written things about poachers and endangered animals and things like that, and I'm 100% for it as well. So I do love it when I see y'all write things like this. And like your poem like made me think of what I was saying about Frank's earlier, is that I could just continue to hear you read over and over again. Like I was so like involved with it, because it just seemed like the story just kept going on and on, and you wondered what was going to happen to this poor moose. And even kind of like, I like that you did it from the moose's point of view as well, about how scared it might be or so. But yeah, I also do love the imagery in it too. Like I couldn't even tell, like, the besides like it being obvious of me putting moose in there, but I couldn't even tell of my word bank at all. Like it just seemed like it flowed perfectly. But you and I also write very similar words, so maybe that was the other reason why. I don't know, but it's amazing. And like I really love the imagery. Like you told this engrossing story. You did a great job, Deb.
Thank you, Crystal. And I went double on this one. That the, of course, any white and or albino animal seems to attract, I'm sorry, but the biggest losers. If you kill something to eat, that's one thing, but to kill that beautiful creature for its pelt and for its antlers is just disgusting to me. And on that note, the from what I read, the people who did it were forced to give that pelt back to the what's the words they use? They don't use Native Americans. First Nations. They were forced to give those First Nation people with their hearts broken that back.
I remember the story. The guy that shot him was no hunter. He was no hunter. He was a wannabe, because no hunter would have shot that moose.
No, come on.
It would not have shot.
Yeah, and he was this was a wannabe
hunter that didn't know what he was doing, didn't know what he was looking at, and he just
what he was looking at and thought he was getting himself a trophy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why I made sure I put the trophy in the poem. It was all just to be able to say he had it. And I mean, everybody in that immediate area, whoever spotted this, loved it. They considered it a spirit guide. I mean, it's really sad. And then I also know that in New Jersey, they discovered a plant that is usually doesn't grow here. It's actually an endangered plant, and it really is. It really is the scorpion, the fern leaf scorpion flower, and it's a pretty little purple weed, and it never grew in New Jersey before, but we found some in one of the wildlife management areas, which is really cool. Now, they found frogs, a new species of frogs. They're finding plants that never grew here before, growing here now. So, you know, all this is, in my opinion, due to climate change and their strength of finding the next place that they can thrive from. So it's just double spotlight. So thanks for that, Crystal.
No, I think that I was also reading about that too in your author's notes. I thought that was like really amazing because those are some very pretty flowers. So like everything that you were just writing and everything. Lady A, do you want to make a comment?
Well, I think things like this need a voice. Injustices need a voice when nobody's speaking, especially for animals or those that can't take care of themselves. I think it's important for someone to speak up on their behalf. And, you know, Deb, you always do a good job with that. And I think that I think we've gotten away from it. I think people are afraid to say what they really think about things or being politically correct. And sometimes being politically correct is not what is needed. I think the truth needs to come out in many things, in many forms. And fear of retribution sometimes, you know, like at Greenpeace and things like that that are opposed to any kind of animal cruelty. But, you know, there's a balance, I think, in everything. And like you said, Deb, you know, if they're getting the moose for meat or it's their livelihood in some way, then that's really what's very important. But I think the First Nations, too, in their on their behalf, they are very conscious of the land and the water and the air. And, I mean, they were the keepers of the land. And I think that that includes the animals. You know, they have, even when they did their buffalo hunting, they had great respect and prayer for the animal before and after it was killed. But, you know, it was their livelihood and it was their survival. So kudos to you, Deb.
Thank you so much. And thank you for sharing that with us when it happened, because, like I said, as soon as I saw the word moose, I remembered that story that you sent. So...
yeah.
Thank you. And wait a minute. I'm sorry. Hatter, you're on the board asking, did you feel that? I thought you were joking around. There's really an earthquake right now.
Where?
No kidding. Like, we're getting scores of aftershocks.
Yeah. I thought you were joking around because of the picture. But no, you are feeling it. It's happening right now.
You can feel it in California and in Jersey?
I can't feel it. I'm seeing it on the news. He's feeling it. And
oh,
I saw it on
okay.
the chat wall a minute ago and thought he was just kidding around. But then I saw the thing on the news saying that a magnitude 6 rattles Northern Cal.
Wow.
Like, wow.
Just east of me.
Okay.
Here I am complaining about a storm and you got earthquakes happening out there. What's happening to our coast? But seriously, I'm going to go because I have to read for Stephen and Kay before hell finishes breaking loose. Crystal, last night when we finished our poems, we shut down. So you shut down when you're ready, dear heart.
Okay.
Love and respect, everyone.
All right, well.
Love and respect. See you,
Deb. Thank you, Deb, for calling. All right, Hatter and Lady A, it's just the three of us. What I'm going to do next is I am going to go ahead and put up Lady A's poem if you're ready to read.
Okay.
Oh, I already like the look of it. It has books.
Okay. Okay. Is school really out? Once upon a fairy tale, a princess longed to set sail into a world of school and books and reading down by the brook. In the castle turret she sat, pen in hand like Sylvia Plath, poetry flowed from every pore, words of emotion from her core. Sleeping Beauty isn't traced, nor Snow White in this place. Prince Charming, a shallow dude, is hollow and rather rude. Happily ever after mispresented as the best of gifts, hungry for more in life, she looks beyond her own strife. Steps outside the castle gate, runs to town before it's late, grinning from ear to ear. She starts high school this year. End poem.
This kind of also gives me that bit of enchanting, like kind of quirky kind of vibe, though. But it just seems like it's this girl that it seems like she's just always in her own world, always sometimes set in books, which maybe I'm just taking it that way because I am that kind of person. But I really liked that, though, the beginning of it, though, where she was, like, in a world of school and books and reading down by the brook, like, and I'm just imagining her doing that, and then she's reading all of these, like, princess and different poetry, like Sylvia Plath and all these different things, and yet, like, even though there's more to life than things, but yet she's always interested in being in these books and things, but, I really like where you took this, though. So it has like this kind of imaginative, creative kind of feel to it, and it's really, really beautiful. And we just lost Spotter.
Oh, great!
In the studio. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I guess Hatter had a go. Maybe he had. I hope he didn't have more earthquakes. I don't know what.
Oh my God! Yeah.
It's like it was on. North or like towards the north and like northeast and stuff, it's like you got plenty of storms, and then on the west coast you got earthquakes. I mean, here in the south we got humidity. That's the only thing I can say.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong, and nothing's going wrong in Canada apparently. So I don't know. Wait, okay, Hatter's back. Okay,
see.
I just saw that you dropped Hatter, and I was like, oh, is Hatter okay?
Yeah, fat fingers. I touched my earpiece and hung it up.
Well, Hatter, did you get a chance? Did you get a chance to hear Lady H's poem?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I wonder what Princess High School, what Princess High School looks like. What looks like. So you're using it as a...
Oh, really? She was? Year. Okay, go ahead, Hatter. Sorry.
Well, no, the first year of high school to girls are a big deal. I think they're probably a bigger deal than guys. I mean, I took it as everything leading up to, you know, the first year of high school.
Well, it was actually, it really was an actual fairy tale that she was a princess. And she wanted to be
okay.
A real girl to just be able to go to high school and do regular things instead of being the undercurrent of being, trapped in the castle. Yeah. So, yeah.
Mm. Yeah,
I liked it, though. I liked how it turned out. It felt good to write that piece, and I thought it was an interesting way that you presented the prompts, too. And, I really liked it.
Yeah, I didn't expect everyone to kind of go in more of like a quirky or magical or enchanted kind of way, but it seems like it has been that. I mean, I know I had a few things here and there, but I didn't expect people to gravitate towards that. But I really have enjoyed to see what, it's like when you do types of word banks or shows like that, or even like with Deb, like when she does her picture prompt shows, even though she gives us a picture, we could describe the picture, but sometimes we go way beyond the picture and give it life or so, or sometimes just like, what, and we look at it, and you never know like what you expect people are going to write about that picture, or even the quotes that she gives, or she gives us the colors or word bank or something, and you never know what we're going to do with it or what colors we're going to pick. I mean, because, like, of course, with me and Deb, we both love purple, but we don't always grab every purple color. So a lot of times I've actually gravitated most towards more gold colors or red colors sometimes. Like, it depends on what mood I'm in. So you never know, like, what people are going to pick. Like, I thought whenever you'd see this, Lady A, I thought when you would see, like, castles or something, I thought you were going to start writing about the beach. That was the first thing I thought of. I was like, I bet Lady A's going to write about the beach. Or Deb, I thought one of y'all might write about the beach, but I was wrong. And I was good with it. I was good with it. But, like, I just, that's just what I thought. But, like, I love seeing when you guys are different. So.
Yeah, it's fun. And I like doing that. I like writing something a little bit different. It's a lot of fun.
I found it odd that you had the word earthquake.
I mean, it's good to think outside of the box. I at least think so. Okay, let's see what we got left. I still have Kay and Steven SoundCloud. We have Budo to read. We have Gerald to read. And I still have Hatter to read, which I think I am going to go ahead and let everybody that is on the phone go ahead and read, and then we'll do the SoundClouds and stuff. Let me grab yours, Hatter, and let you go ahead and read, just in case an earthquake comes, you know. Oh, you beat me to it, okay. Well then, Hatter, you dropped your link. Go ahead and read. You beat me to it.
Okay, give me 1 minute. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm back. Now, I apologize for this one. I was writing it because I saw the word earthquake, and I started writing, and I turned on the news, and right at that time, that's 3:40-something, we were hit with the first earthquake. And I did not feel a thing, is the title of it. It goes like this. It's not fire, nor is it a flood. It isn't a mountain that's been changed to mud. It sometimes jiggles, it sometimes wiggles, and sometimes I don't feel a thing. Reports of shaking, headlines of quaking, fear it never brings. I won't live with twister storms. I'll never see one when one is born. Frozen and stuck, it's just too much. I'll never hide in a hole. There's something about the California clouds. They're all lined in gold. Today I felt the earth shake. It happened in my home state, the Richter 5.9, for heaven's sake. Aftershocks it now makes, but I didn't feel a thing. You can keep the frozen roads. You can chase it wet as it grows, because there are things that I know. I did not feel a thing. End poem.
I mean, it's what's going on in your life right now, Hatter, and I couldn't even imagine. I know that I live in Louisiana, so, and we do deal with a lot of, I've never really lived necessarily in a hurricane. We've had a lot of tropical storms, and we had one time a Category 1, I think, type of hurricane, but nothing that's ever just like done so much damage. I say the worst thing that ever happened once is we one time had like a really bad tropical storm and had like 40-mile-hour winds, and we lost power for about 18 hours. But I'd say that's probably been the worst thing I've ever had. But I couldn't imagine an earthquake or how scary that could even feel. Even though sometimes you don't even feel it. but people are talking about, hey, you know, did you feel that outside? Like, some people feel it, some people don't. But, yeah, I like
Ed,
what you did with this stuff.
Depends where you're standing. I remember watching our swimming pool just start chopping and spilling water over the sides.
Oh, you're kidding.
No. Sorry. Wow. I worked for the fire department at a graveyard one time. I went out to the parking lot to take a break. And I'm looking up at the top of the tower, and I swear this tower just swayed back and forth. And I just thought I had a head rush. You know, when you stare up at the sky. As I walked in, and they had just had the La Loma, I believe it was the La Loma earthquake.
Holy shit.
And that was way down south. The one that hit today is on it's not on the San Andreas Fault. There's another fault. It's something Miller Fault, which goes up the Sierras. The more devastating one is the San Andreas Fault, which runs up through the Bay Area and under me.
That must be terrifying, though, to go through something like that. I can't even get my mind around it. I'd be the biggest chicken in the place, I'll tell you that right now. Wow.
I guess if you're in the city or if you're on an elevated highway, I think you're bound to possibly be in trouble. I've only felt maybe two, just slightly. And I've lived in California my whole life. I think 90% of the people in California have not really been in an earthquake that they had to go down to the ground or run outside or anything like that. If you live in San Francisco, you feel an earthquake. That's a different story.
Mm.
But what about all these? You know, I wouldn't want to live in the Tornado Alley. Jeez.
Yeah.
I'm not going to live in California. Tell you what, man. Not that bad. Of course, I could be have beachfront property where I'm at right now if it slides in the ocean.
Well, I know when I went to Florida a couple of years ago and I met Dash Pat, stayed with her one night, and we met some of her friends, and there was a couple there that had their house was destroyed, and they have their houses on stilts, and I mean it's just like they're just sitting there on these stilts, and you think, how are they going to survive, you know, a big storm, you know, how are they, and I mean the whole places were destroyed, and it just. And they rebuild, and it just amazes me that they go back for more. You know, it's pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah, that's it. It can really devastate an insurance company too. That when that kind of stuff happens, they shouldn't allow them to rebuild if it's destroyed. I don't know. You know, we have them out here. People are building in the wilderness, and it's not only intrusion of the animals, but you know, like I had said before, we've gotten so good at suppressing the fires, we don't let them burn, and we don't clean up the forest. It just builds a bomb. And every 10 years or so, I mean, I have a feeling this summer California's going to light up again. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But the fire science guys are now, or the politicians are finally listening to the fire science guys are saying, listen, you've got to pay of money to go in and clean the dead wood out. You have to. You just go for a non-windy day and you put it in piles and you burn it and control it. You won't have these, like the Paradise Fire, that fire was moving a football field a second. Those people didn't have a chance.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
It was just devastating. Sorry, Crystal.
Oh, no, you're good. I'm just listening away. Like, we have so many, like, stories to tell and things. And And it's always interesting to, I don't know, hear, because I know from each coast and each country and things like that where we live, we all have these different experiences and different climates. And so everybody has something to tell. And I know out in California, you can run into earthquakes, so listening to it.
I'm more worried about fire. I'd be more worried about fires.
That too.
In California than I would earthquakes. Like I said, I don't live in L.A. and I don't live in San Francisco. It goes all the way up the coast to Eureka, up the west coast, and then up to Alaska, that San Andreas Fault. So,
how far north are you? Like how?
I'm northeast of the capital, Sacramento. I'm between Sacramento and Lake Tahoe.
Okay.
I'm safe, but you know the people that lived in Santa Rosa 3 years ago. That's not a high rise metropolis or anything like that. And that fire got so big, it walked right over the residential, just walked over it and burned the suburbs.
Wow.
That was and people just got to be smarter. I mean, besides being able to do the fire abatement and spend the money, I mean, look at how many billions of dollars in damage. With that money that you forked out, I mean, we have 747s that are rigged to drop retardant. 747 coming down out of the sky real low to drop fire retardant. That is a sight, man. Those aren't little crop dusting planes. That's a 747. But it's like last year, one of the deadly fires that took lives. I think it was only six. It was a gender appreciation. They lit fireworks in the foothills for a what's the baby, boy or a girl? You know, those little parties they have.
Oh, you're kidding.
The gender determination party or something.
Yeah.
No, that's what they and. It killed people.
Wow.
So people just got to be smarter. That's. But.
That'll never happen.
You know, Oregon, yeah, I know. Oregon
people being smarter.
Too.
God.
I know. Okay.
We can always hope.
Yeah. For hearing that, Hatter, like I like that you were writing on what you were having happen at the time. So,
yeah, that was weird. It was really weird.
That is weird, though. Yeah. Okay. The one I put up next is Stephen. Similar to Stephen and Kay's, they both got SoundCloud. Let me go back into the studio and find Steven. Okay, I see it. And go ahead and hit play.
Our Dining Out Days by Steven 76. Evenings under the brackish crimson crawfish. Spent mozzarella stick musing. Lobster tail talks, spring shrimp scampi smiles. Mashed potato memories cause chicken tenderloin chuckles and steamed broccoli blinks. Listening to hair bands in the speakers as eyes trace facial contours. Medium sirloin steak scampishness makes for golden biscuit banter and chocolate cake with vanilla ice cream venerating. End poem.
Of course, Stephen has to make us all hungry, of course.
Yeah.
As soon as I clicked on the poem and I'm just seeing shrimp and I'm like, why? Even though I did just have shrimp recently because whenever we have like shrimp that's on sale at the grocery store, I buy it and then I usually make something with it. And I think it was Tuesday night, I made a shrimp Alfredo. So I did have it just recently. But yeah, this I love the mashed potato memories. So I don't know how I like the way he has a lot of alliteration in here, and it just kind of, I don't know, it kind of fits with the mashed potato memories, the chicken truffles, and the broccoli blink. I can't even say that. Broccoli blink, like, and everything. It seemed like he kind of just brought together, like, old memories and stuff like that of, I don't know, like, date nights or just, like, things that that he used to do when they used to eat out and stuff as a family. And I don't know how the whole word bank thing came to him as food, but I think a lot of things come to him in food. But, yeah, this definitely makes me hungry. but it's a great write, and I enjoyed it. Lydia, you want to comment?
Well, like you said, I think it was a fun piece, and he is a foodie, so it was pretty apropos for him to write about it. And he's always laced with a bit of humor and tongue in cheek kind of thing. So it was a fun piece to listen to for sure.
Great comment, Lady A. And Hatter, you want to say something?
Yeah, I like that. The mashed potato memories also. But I got to ask, what part of the chicken is the tenderloin?
That little piece on the back. On the back where there's that little really tender piece of dark meat would be like the back of the upper part of the leg, I guess. Like a thigh or something. Do you know what I mean? There's that, what is it?
I know exactly.
Whatchamacallit in, Hannibal Lecter called it something. I forget what he called it, but that real tender piece.
I'm not quite sure what it's called either, but I know what you mean. Now. But thank you, Stephen, for writing for the show and apparently making us all hungry. But and thank you, Hatter and Lydia, for your comment. I put Kay's up next. Kay also has some audio, which there it is. Okay. Let me go ahead and hit play.
So I will start out with reading my author's notes first. The words I used are pearls, converse, divine, and four, which I put in my title because I do feel that putting it in the title still counts as using it in the right. And then the long and the short is that this was inspired by my great-grandmother, Catherine, who I was named after. And she was more so known by a lot of people as Baba. So, yeah, this is my vision of her as I see her in her youth, with her quilting and her knitting and her sewing and just being part of nature, because there's many facets of myself that are also part of my great-grandmother Catherine. So I call this Pearls Converse for Divine Care. Russet and mouse-colored drabs of terracotta, a straw and sand collects around her feet, knitting needles and hands, clicking together in haste, swarting through weather-beaten fraying. Deprived of sensation, torpid and woolly-headed bemusement, as a fiber lace and footlets to whirl, lanyards overlooking the threads, beach cones communicative tapestries, as each knitted knot, clotheslines, and rabbit-in on, sense of history and yard good in the quilt, blanket in me, made with love, and poem.
I like that she did start out with the author's notes about her talking about her great-grandmother. And I think I remember her bringing that up before about her being named after her great-grandmother, but I wasn't sure. I really like where she – I love the picture, too. But I love that the part about the writing about pearls and things like that. But I love how she just starts it out about the mouse-colored drops of terracotta. Like, they're just already giving me a really good description. I, on the other hand, have never been able to knit or sew or anything like that. I can do a button, that'd be about it, but I know a lot of people used to have to do it a whole lot more than people have in probably the last 50 years, but I do know some people that do love to knit and sew and stuff like that, so I am glad to see that people still do it. This to me just is really beautiful and sentimental to her great-grandmother, and I love the end, too, about the quilt blanketing her eggs. But really sweet. Heather, you want to make your comment?
When did the term darn your socks, because I bet they meant damn.
No. Just saying.
Yeah, I come from my mom, my older sister, one of my brothers, my grandma, a big needlepoint, macrame sewing. My brother made his own clothes for years, showing off.
Wow. That's quite something.
It is.
You don't see that very much.
No. It's probably why he's rich. He's downtown.
Was he teased about that when he was younger?
Not with an older brother like me.
Okay.
Yeah, he my parents came to me one time and said my little brother was having some trouble, and they didn't want him to know, but if I could, I fix it. So I knew exactly who these guys were. And they said, "Oh, I didn't know that was your brother." I said, "Well, there it is. Leave him alone."
Yeah.
Like I made one of them in charge of watching, make sure nobody else. Gave him any shit.
That's the way brothers should be, isn't it?
Yeah. He never knew it though. I wasn't supposed to tell him. Yeah, and the parents come up to me and go, you like to fight, so let me, your brother's having, what do you mean I like to fight? I don't like to fight. The only fight I ever got into was defending somebody that couldn't defend themselves. That was every fight I ever got in.
Mm-hmm.
And that reputation followed me for quite a while.
You were the hero.
Don't mess with me. I hated my ears being slick and cold in the winter. Walk them behind me or grab, give me a what is it, a purple nurple? I broke a guy's nose for doing it. I broke a guy's nose accidentally by doing that.
Crystal, are you there?
Oh, did you feel it? Did you feel that?
I'm here. I'm trying to get myself off mute. This is my doing. Lady A, you want to comment?
I'm trying to think. I forget what we're commenting on with all the discussion.
Kay's,
what do we comment?
Quilting, knitting.
Oh, yes, Kay's quilting. Yeah, I was going to say, you know, it's how nice it is to have a memory like that and to have something like that come down through your family via a great-grandmother. And I think I knit quite a bit, actually, and I've over the years made many, many things for the kids and other kids, and that it's a very relaxing craft, but it's a talent that's, I learned how to knit in school when I was in grade 3. And those kinds of things never left me. I always used it. And I found that it became a great interest to me. So, and it stayed with me my whole life. I don't think they teach that in school anymore. was considered home ec, I guess, when we were very young. But I think it's great that she can have that tradition that was carried on in her family. She wrote it and wrote about it very well. I quite enjoyed it.
I think back in the day, if you were in the military, that was something that you had to know.
Did it? Really?
Yeah, I think
it
is.
My dad
said.
My dad said. And I think it was a funny. I thought it was a funny joke. When it just goes darn socks. I bet it was. He meant damn.
Okay.
Awesome comment, both of you. I have three left. I have Budo's. I have Gerald's. And then I have mine. I did have another poem, but I don't think we have permission to read it aloud because I went and looked, and I don't think that we do. So, but yeah, I have Budo's, Gerald's, and then I'm going to read mine. Lady A, would you be able to read for Budo?
Sure. It's called Haven by Budo. Will you be my castle in a wilderness forsaken, a safe haven from harm when the cold winds of Nord come a-knocking? For I've wandered the abyss far and wide to hellish extremes, but I've yet to find a refuge that I can call home. Will the golden splendor of your subtle spiritual embrace vanquish the near inevitable? Then shall I feel the warm sun again as it was in the end? End poem. Wow.
That was right. This is deep. Well, I also love the artwork, too, but I'm also kind of a sucker for abstract and colorful. I don't know what it is. I know a lot of people don't always like abstract or anything that, like, just splotches. But I don't know what it is. I always do like seeing that stuff, but I'm also just like a sucker for color. But
I'm not a big fan of abstract either, but this is a really beautiful piece, I think. I was going to say that at the beginning. I'm glad you did.
Yeah, it is. It has something deep to it. I don't know. It's like I have seen Budo write very deep, but this just seems like it went almost like deeper, like it would seem like it was kind of his own mind. Like it seemed like he's wandered so much into darkness. It seems, because sometimes you feel that way. You feel like sometimes you walk so far from home that it seems like you're just in an abyss, in a hole somewhere that you can't dig yourself out of. And it seems like you're always, it kind of is like the expression you would hear, see a light at the end of the tunnel. It seemed like here, it seemed like he's in a tunnel looking for the sun, but not sure if he'd find it in the end. So far off, but that's just kind of like where I got from it. Like you've just walked so far away, yet you don't feel like you're ever going to see the sun again. But yeah, I like where he went with this. Another one that went different with the word bank as well. Lady A, you read.
Thanks. He's so very talented, though, Budo. I don't see him very much anymore. It's nice that he's written for you.
I think I have seen Budo write a little more recently, too. But I don't know how much I've seen him. Like, I've seen him a little bit in the shows, but I don't know. Maybe I have to pay attention. I don't know. But. Hatter, you want to comment?
Yeah, I like the, you know, it's pretty abstract. Storyline, I'm taking that's what he sees in the picture. And he mentions the Njord, which is Icelandic or Nordic. Do you know in the fjords, when the sun comes out, it probably hits you maybe an hour a day, and then it goes away for 6 months.
Wow.
So then I can feel the warm. Then I feel the warm sun. I mean, I take it as Icelandic northern. And maybe I'm wrong, but it'd be my castle in the wilderness forsaken. In the wilderness forsaken, that's the extreme cold. Now, is he from the States? Does he live in the States? Do we know?
Yeah, he does. I think
he does.
New York, if not mistaken.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's also about it, too, is that, you know, how he normally writes music and stuff, but even though it was a poem and I could see a poem, it also had a tiny bit of a musical feel to it as well, but maybe that was just me. I don't know.
Hmm.
Pluto got us all in deep thought.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, sometimes... Sometimes you've got to just reread it.
Yeah. I know there are some, I love it when poetry does that, though. You just read it, and then it's just somehow you're just lost in thought. Like, sometimes you couldn't even, like, be thinking anything exactly, but somehow you're still lost in thought because you're just lost into another world. And I love, I mean, really that's what poetry is supposed to be doing, so. I love it when people do that. Take you to a different place and then you wander there and you got to find a way to climb out. But
I felt that there's something else in this poem, though, as I read it. I think, let me see now. That middle verse spoke a lot. I've wandered the abyss far and wide to hellish extremes, but have yet to find a refuge that I can call home. It seems like he's looking, he's requesting that this person that's been lost save him. And then he tells about how he's never found a place to call home. And then the end... He talks about, will the golden splendor of your subtle spiritual embrace, to me that says she's dead, vanquished near the near inevitable, then shall I feel the warm sun again as it was in the end. He's questioning her. I think he's waiting to meet her. He talks about her spiritual embrace. But then as it was in the end, like she's gone and he wants to feel her back again. That's what I get out of it. I agree with you that I felt it was deep, but that's exactly what I get out of it.
I didn't really think of that either, but I know what you mean by that middle verse, though, that you're saying about her somehow being dead. I didn't even think of
that.
Amazing comment, lady and Heather. Wow.
Oh, sorry. You call me.
Well, look at what time. I've got Gerald and then mine. I think I'll go ahead and get Gerald. And thank you, Budo, for writing for the show. I added that poem to my favorites because I really do like it. Like, I want to keep continuing to read it because it had me thinking. Like, even with Lady Ace comment, Hatters, and my own, and then rereading it, there's so much to it. It is very deep.
Yeah. Now, the picture that he posted, that's curious, too. I mean, was that... a prompt of some sort, or did he find that after he wrote it? Or
I don't think it was a prompt. I think it was just what he took from the words that I gave, or the words that he picked. So I think that's all that it was. But I don't know. It was something he was in the mood to write. I'm not sure. I'm going to go ahead and play Gerald SoundCloud.
Politician, written and read by Gerald Green. There was a young man who was nerdy, conversing in sentences wordy. His voice was too loud, as if to a crowd, and his jokes were not funny, but dirty. He thrived as a robber and villain, until he was careless one night, when the sheriff appeared, the way he had feared, with 24 deputized lawmen. His flashy sartorial splendor exceeded the norm for his gender. The judge was impressed with how he was dressed, so just cautioned the newbie offender. He joined a political party and ran for an office, dressed smartly. He looked dignified. It was a landslide. I thought I had judged him too harshly. But when he was sworn into office, his actions were bold, never cautious. With graft and a plan, he squeezed every man by using techniques that were lawless. His name should be on a court docket, not high like a Jupiter rocket. Because of your vote, he's able to gloat, and now his right hand's in your pocket. Political men who get wealthy are gluttonous, crooked and stealthy. They always want more through a secret back door. To have as a friend is unhealthy. End poem.
I always like how creative Gerald can be, especially with rhyme. Because like a lot of the times you'll see like a specific kind of rhyme scheme, but when I read Gerald, he always does some different kind of rhyme scheme, and I feel like it was this way too, like he's having like all these different, but it flows so well every single time. But I do like what he was writing about though, because a lot of this, it is true. I mean, there may be, I mean, pretty much everyone knows about like politicians, they do whatever they can, and I don't know if they just, or a person before they even become a politician like this way or what happens, I don't know. But I think he wrote pretty much pretty well to the way that a politician can be. I don't really follow politics that much, but I do know it can be this way. But this is a great write, Gerald, and thank you for writing for the show and everything. And I really did enjoy the rhyme a lot and the story and everything. Hatter, you want to comment?
Yeah, I love the politicians, you know. I won't raise taxes and tax the rich. Tax the rich when it isn't they, it is them that are the rich. They're hypocrites. I think that's what he's saying in this poem. It's so hypocritical. It's ingenuous. And got to put a stop to it. But I think this is the first time I've seen Gerald write in a limerick form. I don't remember any others. But yeah, he's always classic to place up.
Yeah,
I find he's a terrific writer. I think he's spot on politically, and I think. I like the nostalgia of his writing. A lot of his pieces are so heartwarming in many ways, and he has a very gentle tone to him, and I think when he writes, it means, I think it's very special to him when he writes, because he's they're such endearing poems for the most part, and I like that about his writing. And you know, he's being honest about the politicians, because we all feel the same way about politicians. They're all a bunch of liars but and scammers, but it's I think he does it, even with a politically charged piece, he does it in a very gentle and respectful way. I like that about him.
That is true. If I do love the way that he writes as well, it's always just this, and what you were saying too about that, the way he writes, you can tell that he enjoys it and everything. I can tell it just as much. But, yeah, and I agree about politicians. Yeah, they are 100% liars. And he wrote it pretty much right to the T. It's been a quiet night.
Yes, it's very quiet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, you feel that? You feel that?
Oh, dear. Are you going to be all right?
Yeah.
No, we just, as far as Catter's not finding buttons to press, I guess, like, I mean, we could sit there and have all the dishes fall, then we'd make some noise. I don't think we're going to be doing that. Well, I've got my poem to read, but before I'm going to read mine, I'll do the announcements. I know, Lady A, you have a show tomorrow. Do you want to tell us about it?
Yeah, I got a show tomorrow night at 11 Eastern, and it's just I want the poets to tell the story of them and how they came to be, who they are today, what influences that helped them to get there, and just the history of them. And I think it should be hopefully a fun show, an interesting show. So that's tomorrow night at 11 Eastern.
I saw your earlier, and I was looking at it and stuff, but and I really liked it. I do love hearing those kind of things, that when people tell their story of how they became this, or just the story of themselves. I mean, everyone has such a beautiful story to tell. Even if people are like, oh, my life is boring, I'm like, no, it's not, because
no.
Someone else is very interesting. So I like your topic, Lady A.
Thank you. Hopefully
well,
the people will join me.
Tomorrow, right now I know at a Poetic Slice of Life, they're on right now, and I believe theirs has something to do with childhood. Yes, childhood remembrances. So that's going on right now. And then Hatter, what's going on Saturday, Saturday?
I think we're finally going to get the show about Orange and non-Rhyme. No, it's been postponed several times because of birthdays and other emergencies. So I think we'll finally get it out of the way.
Okay.
No rhyme on how I'm going to do that.
No rhyming. Oh.
Oh, wow.
Right.
That's going to be hard for him. I mean, really, it's hard for a lot of us. I can write free verse. But it takes a lot out of me. It's like sometimes I write in three verses and then it will come out and rhyme. It's like I don't have to use it normally. And I know, Hatter, you have the same thing, so it is hard. But sometimes it seems like days is a challenge to rhyme, because like it seems like I want to rhyme one word and then I'll rhyme it with another and then it doesn't seem like it come out right, but I don't know. It sometimes can be a challenge, but okay. Well,
or,
we got that.
Or you break it to rhyme, and then you end up having a great stanza. You don't want to get rid of it. You're now stuck with writing two.
That's true.
You'll see it. See, that goes. Orange is the front.
And Sunday, I know, Monday, I know that Deb has her personal prompt Monday, as always. But yeah, it's the shows that I know of right now. But yeah. And my next show, I'm not sure. Now that my hours are going to be switched, I'm pretty sure that I'll probably try and do some more shows, but I'll let y'all know, like, what's going on and everything. But, yeah. And thank you, everyone that wrote today, like, and called in, Deb, Hatter, Lady A, Frank, and everybody that wrote, Stephen and Kay, Gerald, I didn't miss anyone that wrote. But yeah, I thank everybody for doing that. And I'll go ahead and read my poem. I may have cheated because it's a poem that it's a free write. But like I said, today I was just lazy. I'd hardly have been on All Poetry all day long. I just slipped my mind, so I didn't write for it. I didn't do nothing. But
you're fired.
You created the show around a pre-write.
I think that's Deb's job, though. But I guess y'all have to send in a complaint with Deb and be like, Crystal's fired.
Well, no complaint. No complaint. You can't do that. Just like faking when it's not a recording. I thought that was brilliant.
Well, is my poem, and I think it has some of my, because I went through it, I believe it has some of the words that I have in the word bank or so, I'm not sure, but this is called Softwood Pages. And here we go. Cotton fibers brush the softwood pages of dreams and visions worth chasing. Chapters of a sunrise glow in the clouds with silent words lost in an endless crowd. Morning dew blows kisses on the prologue as daylight shimmers on ongoing dialogue. Terracotta sunset flushes in a dramatic climax as calmness part ways in the moonlight flat. Happy endings return like a long-lost lover and cobalt eyes dampen the hardback cover. Wandering fingertips dust the written page. Sun glares on endings, hummingbird-like music. Friendship in between imaginary places as cotton fibers brush the softwood pages.
I see.
Thank you.
Softwood pages. That's pretty cool.
I think
cotton fibers brush.
Me and Sky about us both being bookaholics. So, and I've never really written a lot about books and stuff in the last couple of years, but I never know why. I put it in a few poems here and there, but I never did it that much. But it's just been something I think maybe I'd say it'd be a mute I'd say in recent time. But yeah.
Well, you have a talent all your own that's classically Crystal, and you know, this is one of them, and I haven't read you in a long time, and let me see, what can I pick out to tell you specifically, and I love the title, Softwood Pages. I thought that was gorgeous, and to describe the cotton fibers brush the softwood pages dreams and visions worth chasing. You really, this is like, when I look at words like this and read them and digest it, it doesn't take much to digest it because it just
flows inside me, and it just settles there in such a wonderful way. And sun, chapters of a sunrise glow in the clouds, of silent words lost in an endless crowd. Wow. Like, it just, you know, the cadence of it, just so beautifully written. And daylight shimmers on ongoing dialogue, terracotta sunsets blush on a dramatic climax. And as commas part ways in the moonlight black, you can almost see that separation, those commas that are separating the words, like an ocean, like Moses, you know, did the sea. I just love this whole piece. I think this is, I don't know, I think this is probably one of my favorites, maybe a new favorite so far. Happy endings return like a long-lost lover. Cobalt eyes dampen the hardback cover. Beautiful rhyme, beautiful cadence. And just to write about the book itself and reading this book, to describe it the way you've described it, the images in it, it's just fantastic how you did this. A friendship in between imaginary places as cotton fibers brush the softwood pages. I love this. I'm going to put it on my list because I have, and I see that you won a gold for it, yes?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, this is a really fantastic piece. I wish there were more on to hear this. I think that you should perhaps read it again when there's more people to share it, because I think it's gorgeous. It truly, truly is. Every single line in it, the way you've written, wrote a book. This is why I love poetry so much, because there's such beauty in it. And when you can see your mind's eye, what the writer is trying to say, and then you look at this writer, like I'm looking at you, saying, holy shit, you know, sorry, holy cow, this is really, really great. Just how you've written this. I absolutely love it. What did you think,
Adder? Yeah, was this the first time? Was this the first time you used the word softwood pages?
I think so. I don't think I ever have used the word softwood.
I love that when that happens, man. And that's excellent. And I see he wrote it too. There is no friend as a law as loyal as a book.
Yeah.
Do we believe that? Do we believe that, or just knowing?
Yeah, I do, kind of.
My mother was
an avid reader, and she was a different kind of a mother. But in any case, she was an avid reader, and she used to tell us all the time that you could travel the world through the pages of a book. And that always stuck with me. It's true. You can go anywhere and be anyone through the pages of a book.
I've experienced something. That's what I was talking about before, like with your show, what you're doing, Lady A, talking about writing a poem of you, is that so many people have so many stories to tell. It's like, and then people go out and read those stories and things, and they haven't experienced it themselves. Like, say somebody went to San Francisco and wrote a book about it, and then other people read about it because they've never been to San Francisco. That's the beautiful thing about reading, is that if you are curious about something or you've never experienced something, you can read about it and almost feel like you're there by words of description and story and everything, and that's the beauty of books. But that's kind of like what with the quote, though, there is no friend like a book. But that is really the truth, because it's like no matter where you go, you can have like a book along with you in a different place.
To have a pre-existing images of something, and then later you go there, could you be let down? This isn't exactly what I was modeling.
That is true, too. You could actually go there and see if it actually is like the way they described it.
Yeah, San Francisco is better looking when you're looking at it from across the bay than when you're close to. It because it's a haunting place to drive. We got the homeless problem there now. People are not real friendly there. Or maybe they just didn't like me. That's probably it.
Yeah, you know, wow.
Yeah.
I wonder if that'll ever get better. We built a place here for the homeless, like, so they can get back out from the element. An apartment building of sorts, affordable living. It's a brand new building, and it's to, I'm not sure how many apartments are in it, but it's to get the homeless off the street. If you get them off the street and give them an address so that they can apply for the help that they need, that's the first step. Give them housing. And then give them the tools and the resources to get well, to get a job, to get the help that they need.
We got somebody down here in California. I think it was Huntington Beach, where that's where the iconic Muscle Beach is. It's one of the biggest tourist attraction down south in Southern California. Now, once again, the mayor of the town there decided, we need funding to approach this problem with the homeless, because I guess it's very bad down there now. The whole beaches are full of camps of the homeless. But that's been done over and over and over. All you're going to do is get more people to move down to Huntington Beach. The homeless will be, because they get free stuff. I'm not trying to say I know the answer, but that's been done, and I don't know. It's a problem. It's a big problem. And
they did this in Manitoba, in Winnipeg, and it was a huge success.
Sure, you don't have the masses. You don't have the masses of ADA. My Lord, I bet the homeless here in Sacramento, the capital city alone, which isn't one of the worst places, you got L.A., San Francisco, and all up and down the coast, I bet just here in Sacramento is more homeless than the entire population of Manitoba. So you got to look at it.
Well, you're probably right,
Heather,
but I'm going to say this about that, is that this is a situation where the government of the United States of America should be ashamed of. 90% of the men that are homeless in the U.S. are military.
Not anymore. It's the middle of lower class. It's everybody. They've lost their homes. They've lost their businesses. They've lost their jobs. It's not anymore that. There are a lot of them, but not like it was. And you're right. Our leaders have let us down. They've let us down, and now we've got a big problem. They don't know what to do. They're happy sitting there playing some flipping game where they cash their checks. You're filthy rich, having 3 or 4 mansions. Come on, man.
Well, okay, I'm going to read you some numbers. You know what? There's money enough to put in all kinds, and I'm speaking for my country too. There's money enough to put in places that it's not necessary when you get people living on the dams. It's unacceptable. It's outrageous.
Sure.
Why don't they focus on what they can do to get help for these people? But why don't they, you know, make the healthcare system capable of looking after the ones that have mental illness, the veterans who cannot get help from Veterans Affairs, et cetera, et cetera. There's all kinds of things they can do, but they don't want to put the money there. Why? Because it's not making them any money. That's what it boils down to. It's going to cost them. It's not going to pay them. And so It's not worthwhile. It's disgusting. It's totally disgusting. And we got them here too. I'm not just pooping on the U.S. It's here too. Maybe not in the great masses that you have, but when you think of per capita, it's pretty much the same. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It, you know, the you can't kidnap people either. You can't force people to do what they don't want to do. And there's a good portion of them that have been institutionalized with that lifestyle. And it's the mental health problem is huge. But
yep.
You can't kidnap somebody. You can't kidnap somebody and tell them you've got to go here. You know, maybe they'll do that for a day or two.
No, you can't do that, but you can make it so that it is available for those who need it and want it. And there's probably a whole lot more than that category than there are in it. Now, I'm looking at a map with regards to homeless veterans of the United States, and California has 11,401 homeless veterans, 11,000 people. 11,401.
That's nothing. There's more homeless than that in the capital city alone. That doesn't include San Francisco, L.A., San Diego.
Well, this is what yours is. This was last
well,
year's
sure,
stats.
Sure. I have no doubt there's 11,000 vets. I have no doubt. But that's a minuscule part of the numbers of homeless in California right now.
No, but
we just let in 900,000 more. So.
I'm just saying that this is speaking specifically to veterans. I'm not saying there are not other categories of people that are homeless. Of course there are. But the veterans alone cover 11,000 people.
Yeah. The administration that contemplates and redoes the veterans' affairs.
That's
that
terrible.
Got shut down.
You know,
yeah,
we're the richest country in the world. And you have, you know, this horrible rate of homelessness. It's I don't get it. You know, then you look at drug addiction, you look at mental health, you look at job loss, you look at all these things. Poverty is the biggest culprit, and then there's hope that is followed by hopelessness, and then there's drug addiction that they cope with because they are homeless or because they have no job. It's just a vicious, vicious circle that nobody seems to want to pay attention to, you know?
You can't put a Band-Aid on a compound fracture.
Exactly.
And that's what they've been doing, pushing it down the road, and it's now we've got a bigger problem. And, I mean, it is a huge problem.
Yeah. It is.
And the whole time politicians are getting filthy, filthy rich.
Yeah.
Some of the information of what companies these politicians in California own and who are related to who, that's another story, too. It's
yeah.
all nepotism.
Nepotism. Disgusting. Sick. Horrible. Yeah.
So, okay, well, we got on something. Sorry, Crystal.
Sorry, Crystal.
I don't know, you guys are exactly letting y'all chit-chat. I mean, the poetry was art.
I mean...
Vote for me.
Yeah,
vote for me next time. I'll fix it. Vote for me.
How would you fix it, though, Hatter?
I'll tell you when you vote me in. I'll tell you when you vote me in. Stop.
I think you gotta start solving the poverty. When you start solving some of that, then the rest will follow suit. But you know, when you get, you know, you look at kids that are going to school and school programs that they have to feed them. Some of these kids are going to school with no food. You know, like that. How does that happen in a country like we live in?
Because politicians don't care. It's not the handle on that does not get politicians reelected. In fact, it makes them very unhappy because you have to infringe on somebody's space or money or taxes or something. It is not something that you can fix and be reelected.
Well, like I said earlier, they're not getting anything out of it. They have to give to help.
Yeah, I say if they can't get a budget, get a budget, they don't get paid. I'll tell you what, the budget will be made very quickly if the politicians didn't get paid until there was one. That's how you handle it.
I put the post up here. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, okay, it says. They're talking. Doctors Without Borders are going a little nuts, and I mean that in a good way, because they're very angry about how the coronavirus is. Vaccines are not being handed out in some of the most underprivileged countries, and so they've gone on a campaign to speak to that. And ask the big pharma, who I've said, I've said from the beginning of this nightmare, if big pharma was concerned with the well-being of humanity, they would be donating the vaccine to the world. For once, not making money the goal. This post proves that they're in it for the cash. The poverty-stricken countries matter not. They can't pay, so they don't get it. And what an absolute disgrace. And it is, you know, you have these countries, can't pay for it. Like, that's not fair.
Do you remember being immunized when we were young? The diseases that we were being, I mean, do you realize that the influx of the immigrants, that none of them are, and that we are now have typhoid, we now have the tetanus, whooping cough, the measles. It will be lucky if polio doesn't come back. That was supposed to be eradicated, but there are places in the world that it is still that could come back. Because none of these are young adult diseases that kill young adults. That we are immunized when we're children. The parents, even though there's a risk to have your kids immunized, there's always has been. Your parents did. My parents took that risk, and it's better for better for everybody. But we have a generation, or more than one generation, that some of these kids aren't.
I believe. Yeah.
Now, the school. Well, okay. Well, what do you do with the influx of the immigrants that they're just letting in, placing it all over the country? They're not. You're introducing big problem. It's going to blow up. You're going to start seeing young adults dying. Whole generations of young adults dying again. When I was little, it was polio. Polio was one of the most terrible things there was for young adults.
Yeah.
You could have be a kid and tell you you're King 1920, and then you are affected with this polio virus. And we eradicated it out of North America.
I thought that there was criteria when people come into the country legally, that they are to have had proof of their vaccine.
Well, sure. Legally, that's part of the process, but we just let in 900,000 we don't know. And Guatemala doesn't. Neither does it. You see, everybody was flying into Mexico or Guatemala, then walking out. We don't know where these people are from. We can only guess. It's just something that people, I don't get it. They're putting us all in danger. And our kids, our grandkids, and hopefully it'll get better before it gets worse. So we should let Crystal do her thing, maybe. Crystal?